All right, good morning, everyone. I'm going to show you one picture from the farm this week because I want to. Caleb's not in the room at the moment, but Caleb, I've noticed from Caleb in the last few years that when I travel with him, he is taking pictures constantly. And about a month after, I really appreciate those pictures. Sometimes during, I'm like, what are you taking another picture for? But so I've been getting in the habit of trying to take more pictures of, and Caleb's really helped me with that. So this is one of my favorite pictures from this week. There's Caleb, there you are. I was just saying how I like to take pictures because you kind of taught me that. So this is my favorite picture from this week. This is the when it wasn't raining, by the way. It was like it was raining all week, but we couldn't make it to the end, which means something to a couple of you, but we couldn't make it to the end, and so I had to get up on top of the combine and push on my hands and knees and push the corn to the corner so that we could make it. And so my dad came out and said, can we go further? And so I took a picture of him. So it's a fun picture in my life in this season. We made it. Yeah, of course we did. We always make it, but we're farmers, so we're always pretty negative until we do. My grandmother used to say, a farmer will lose his crop 7 times in one season and then end up with a bumper crop. That's oh my gosh, it's raining too much. Oh my gosh, it's not raining enough. Oh my gosh, it's, oh my, oh my, oh my. And then end up with a bountiful harvest. So, okay, here's what we're going to do this morning. Thanks for handing those out. Yeah, that second sheet's a little more complicated, but we're going to spend the morning, I'm going to review very briefly all the charts that I've shown you the last 3 weeks, and I'm just going to briefly, and the purpose of that is to get your mind back into Ephesians, get your mind back into these middle letters, but then I really just want to spend the rest of the time looking at that chart about the prayer, those 4 verses that we just said together, and then have discussion questions around that. That's this morning. It's really just trying to dive into the Ephesians 3, 16 to 19 prayer there. So, let me do some review for you and then some upfront things here. Keep in mind, this is how we've been thinking about this, recovering the way of Christ and his apostles and then rooting the way of Christ and his apostles over a 100-year window. This is our ethos that we've been talking about. Recovering it and then rooting it. Concerning our family budget items, I do want to highlight the conference numbers up there. Thanks, Nancy. We're not where we need to be. That's the bad news on the conference. We are 4 weeks out, and we're only a third of the way there to our commitment. So I don't like to be a bad news person unless I'm playing farmer, then it's easy to be a bad news person. But we're only a third of the way there, so we really need to make a concentrated effort to help people understand the opportunity that we have to participate in this. We all know that this is a big part of our work as a church, as a church of churches, and our stewardship around the globe. So it's a real opportunity for us to participate in this financially, as well as the other ways that you can participate. But our commitments are that we made this spring were $91,000, and gifts to date, is that accurate, Don? 36?
I got $50,000.
You got 50? well, then why my numbers say 36? So I'm a little bit behind. So is that good news? Yeah, that's good news. Yeah. I was still processing whether that was really good news or just sort of good news. I think that's sort of good news. That means we're over halfway instead of a third of the way. So that, okay, I'm getting better. This is getting better. Anybody else have any announcements they want to make? Okay, so that's where we are. We still need to be faithful to our commitments. I'd still like to see before the we would like to see before the conference starts that we're at that 91 number. That's really, really what where we need to be by the start of the conference, at that 91. Okay, so that's family budget update. We've been doing the early and middle letters of Paul and been trying to review that and show you some charts on that to try to help us understand better and equip us. And so here's some of those reflections and some of the charts that we've made. And I'm going to apologize ahead of time. I realize most of you have seen these charts at least once, and you've heard all these things at least once. So I'm going to go fairly quickly, just for the sake of, my purpose is not that you master these charts that I'm going to show, but just so you get your mind back in the ideas and in the principles that we've been working with. So I am going to go a little fast, but, and that's for sake of, I want to spend it on the back end on what we handed out here. Being rooted in the paradigm means being able to withstand the winds of other teachings. If you are constantly being blown around, then you probably aren't rooted in the paradigm. Other reflections from 3 weeks ago were, being rooted in the paradigm means that our theology and church practice is shaped more by the first 300 years rather than the last 300 years of the church. Okay, so as we started, if you look across all of Paul's letters and you separate them into early, middle, and late, this is a summation chart on that. In the early letters, you have a battle for the kerygma, you have and then an understanding of the didache in those letters. And that's Galatians, that's Galatians, 1-2 Corinthians, 1-2 Thessalonians, and the other one, Romans. And then in the middle letters, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. And that is, the church is the plan, that's Ephesians, the mystery's been revealed, you live accordingly, that's Colossians and Philemon, and then you participate with us, which is Philippians. And then you have the later letters, which are 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and teach the way of life, put the churches in order, which is Titus, and then 2 Timothy, fully entrusted and equip everyone. So that's a summation on a chart of the early, middle, and later letters. So when you look at when you dive in from all those letters and then dive into the middle letters themselves, you get this general layout. In the fall of 60, you have Ephesians up there on the left. You have Colossians and Philemon were written in the harvest time, who knows, but in the fall of 61, about a year later, and then six or so months later, you have Philippians written. So the middle letters are written in a pretty tight window. In about a year and a half time frame, Paul wrote these letters to those churches. And I changed the colors and changed some of the words from some of the feedback from some of you. Keith told me he couldn't read anything on that one chart. So I changed the color, hoping that would help, Keith. But church is the plan in Ephesians, live accordingly, participate with us. We've talked about that on the other chart. So when you then dive in specifically to Ephesians, you see how I'm trying to start big picture, and then you start going down into Ephesians specifically here. You've got the first section. This is simply just about the first section of Ephesians, which is Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3. That's all this is. And that is, you could summarize it on the left-hand side there, that it's God's plan. Jesus is the head of the church, and the church will show God's wisdom. That's a summation of that very first section in Ephesians. And then on the left-hand side down below here further, I don't know how to do this yet, even though Mike has shown me three or four times. Sorry, Mike. I need the power to comprehend how to use my iPad, I think. But these are all the, in your handout actually, of chapters 1, 2, and 3, these are the summary statements, our summary statements from those three chapters for each of those sections. So I actually chunked out those three chapters into the appropriate paragraphs and put this summary statement at the top. So in a moment here at your discussions, I'm hoping that's going to be helpful to see that. But really the big thing that you need to, one of the big things you need to understand and be equipped with in this letter, especially when you look at the first section, this prayer that we're talking about is the bookend, is the end of the very first section. So this prayer in chapter 1, 14 to 21, that it's Paul starts with a prayer. He says hello. That's verse 1 and 2. Then he has a prayer, a cosmic global prayer, and then he has text in between, narrative and instructions in the middle, and then he ends chapter 3. He ends that section with the prayer that we just said together, that we're memorizing together. So he bookends with prayers, and this is the end of that section, that prayer. So very, 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 very important from many aspects, but it helps you understand, I think, this much better if you understand it. It's a prayer at the end of that section. So there's implications for the churches on the right, the discussion questions that we talked about in previous conversations. This one we handed out, and we were trying to chase the today's church models versus fully participating with Christ in the way of Christ and his apostles as we talk about it. So we tried to summarize all the different church models that are out there today and just some of the gaps or some of the ways that how we think about the way in Christ and his apostles actually fulfill some of those gaps that and models that we're using today. That's the point of that chart. And this is a more of the same, but more around an individual. This is more from a higher level. This is the big church models, like a house church model or a cell church model or the healthy church or simple church or seeker-friendly or gospel communities. But this chart is more about individual, how individuals think about personal acceptance of Christ and I want my kids to be saved, or I'm Presbyterian because my parents were. And so we're just trying to compare and contrast the way of Christ and his apostles' ideas and paradigm that we're talking about compared with some individual aspects. And then finally, this is the last chart I'm going to show you, and then I'm going to set you loose. But this was a chart concerning how do we fully participate in what God's doing? How do we know if we're moving towards maturity and fully participating? So when you look at Ephesians here, and you look at the very next verse, I did not put it on your handout, but you look at Ephesians 4, verse 1 and 2, and what it says is, Paul says, I want you to understand your calling, fully understand it, and not participate, but fulfill your calling individually and collectively, I think. And so how do we, by following Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, we can fully participate with Christ and fully understand our individual calling. Do you get the significance of that? We all want to participate with Christ, but how? How do we individually do it? How do we collectively do it? And in understanding the principles in Ephesians 1 through 3 and understanding the prayer of Ephesians 3, we can get there and we can do it. So This is a chart that is trying to, Mike, I'm going to do it again, can't help myself. But this is a, sometimes I think we can get farmerish. I don't know the right term, but we can poke a person in the eye and say, you stink, because you don't get it. And this is a, and farmers can be kind of negative, that's why I say that, but this is a chart that is supposed to show us that all of us are on the pathway, all of us. And sometimes the criticalness is only a criticalness because we want everyone to fully mature and everyone to fully participate. And so it's not a criticalness because we as leaders like poking people in the eye, but it's more about we need to come to full maturity. We need to be on that establishment process. And that is a lifelong journey. And so we have to be mature and wise in that, and that is all of us are on this journey. All of us. All of us have an individual role to play, and we have a collective role to play. So this is simply just trying to say that. You can have no belief where you have hope in self. You can believe in other gospels. You can participate in name only. You're essentially not participating. Dear heavens, how do you do it, Mike? There. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing. It's not going to work, though, because now laser. Oh, my goodness. Did everyone just see how I had comprehended finally? Ooh, what happens if you do that? Oh, my goodness. Cool. Can I change the color? No, okay, I'm getting distracted. Red is bad. If you do red is like, everyone's like, oh, I got a bad check mark. But if you do a more, okay. You can have no belief. You can participate in name only. That's just nominal. You might be you're just a cultural Christian. You have a conversion moment, experience, or conversion time. That's about that. Basically, that you have to be careful how we use that. But what I mean there is that you've accepted Christ and accepted the message of salvation. That's a you've converted from your old self and putting on the new self. And then you begin the establishment process. You begin maturing in Christ. You have the establishment process. You're onwards towards maturity. And that is you're striving to know your unique gifts and roles, understanding the collective work of the church. You're learning the first principles. You're developing life skills. And when you're fully participating, that is you're mature, you're a productive member of the community. You have confidence in Christ's plan. You're clear on your own gifts and your own roles, which are two different things. But you know the gospel. You know the teachings. You know there is a set of teachings. And you're using those roles and those gifts, and you're faithful in your own life work. Okay. So all of that was simply just to try to get your mind back into this. Got it. Here's what I want you to do. If you look at what we handed out, you've got, look at this chart first. What I want you to do is, at the bottom, let me start with the concrete first. I want you to begin to answer these questions at the bottom of this chart. That's what I want you to do at your tables. Now, some of the resources I've tried to supply you with in order to answer those questions are on the top left and the top right of this. I put the intention statement of Ephesians, and I put the outline of Ephesians to give you some context. I've also gave you the, on the left-hand side middle, I also gave you some of the key words out of those four verses, and I put the what's the word is, Caleb, help me out. What's another word for semantic range? This is the semantic range on the left. Range of meaning, what? Possibilities of meaning. It's like all the different shades of green there are. I don't know if that's a good explanation, but strengthen can mean all of these different words, all these different shapes, all the different possibilities of that meaning. So you have to become strong, to grow, to be powerful. The inner being is the inner man, the soul, literally the hidden person. To dwell means to live, to reside, to inhabit, to make residence, to make home, to have a household. Rooted and grounded means source of strength, to become strengthened, that's actually rooted. And then steadfast foundation and established, comprehend, you can read the rest. So that's what I'm trying to give you there. The second resource I'm trying to give you is we printed off Ephesians 1 through 3, and the header of each section is us. We made this summary statement at the top there. We made that summary statement right here. See those two summary statements? The mystery through Christ and His church? Let me go to this one. So, I want you to answer those questions, talk about those questions, to get a fuller understanding of these four verses. But I want you to do it in the context of the first three chapters and with those key words defined on the sheet, okay? Now, just so you all know, that's it. That's it for this morning. We're going to discuss, but I don't, just to prove it to you, I don't have any other slides than that. So the point of this morning is to understand deeper and deeper those four verses. That's it. Okay? So we're going to talk about it when y'all done. Let's talk about it. What does it mean to be strengthened in your inner being? What is your inner being? Strengthened with what? What is meant by power? I should have defined power in the semantic range for you on the left there. That's an improvement I'll make when I get home. You did. Okay, good job, Eric. And knowledge. Ooh, two of them. Need to write that down. So let's talk about it. Oh boy, this is showing up there. I suppose that's... Okay, let's talk about it. You can show it up there. It's fine.
So we talked about the idea of, the end of that verse is power through His Spirit. So the strengthening is something you do individually, meditating, praying, but it's also a collective thing. You can't do it by yourself, and it's not meant to do by yourself. The power is the Spirit drawing us all together. One of the ranges of power that we looked at was the capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others or the course of events. And we can see that that's what happens when you accept Christ. It alters the course of events in your life in a dramatic way. And the Spirit is what does that. We're not converting people. The Spirit is. So that's kind of one idea that we talked about.
What? Hold on to the mic a second. So you looked up the word power, and what does the word power mean?
One range of it is the capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others or the course of events.
So you can influence others, or you can change the course of events. That's the range of what the word power means.
Yep.
Okay, so the word power, and then that all of this has to be done in the context of a community. It was the 2 points that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big at our table too. Good. Okay. He just got done. Keep in mind, in this letter, this prayer is just after he revealed the entire mystery that people have been trying to look into since the beginning. And he unfolded it in Ephesians 3, 8, 9, 10, 11. So he just got done revealing that mystery, and then it's this prayer. So pretty big significance. Power, and then the community, which is ties to this Ephesians 3, 8, 9, 10. Okay.
I don't know if we're allowed to jump around, but I'm jumping straight to question three. And one of the things we were talking about is question three.
Question three, got it.
I didn't know if we were jumping around or not.
You can do whatever you want, yep.
But one of the things we were talking about was the difference between surpasses knowledge as well as like just knowing, like what is surpasses knowledge.
What's the difference?
And so we were talking about, you know, someone can have a good understanding of what Christ's plan is and who Christ is and what the church is, but not believe. And there's something that kind of trips when you all of a sudden understand what his plan is and you believe in who God is, then it clicks together. And one of the examples we were talking about that was when you can understand what the quadratic formula is, but if you don't know what it implies or what it does, you can't actually use it. And so the passage is talking about, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, width, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That is, I pray that you understand the depth and the breadth of which you can apply this in your livelihood, in your church, in your establishment of the love of Christ. So it's not just you understand it, it's you can apply it and you can live it out.
Yeah, that's good. That's right. It is. It's almost, he almost is, in a sense, he's contradicting himself here because he wants us to fully comprehend, and then he says that what you have to comprehend surpasses knowledge. You can't do it. So it's like, what? But that's the fullness of this whole thing, and that is, we can't do this individually. We have to, and we have to follow this is the only way we're going to receive it. And the way we have to follow Christ's plan, and Christ's plan is the church. And so as we follow Christ's plan, the Spirit will indwell inside our inner hidden being, the soul, which is right, and as that happens, you can't come to those understandings on your own. That surpasses knowledge. Yeah, I don't know what the quadratic formula is, so that analogy is lost on me. But sorry, Jay. Made it through 4 years at Iowa State, but what else? What is the fullness of God? Why do we need power to comprehend?
Well, like you were saying before, in the context of what he had just delivered to them, that the Gentiles were outside of what was happening before, and now they're inside of it. This was a mystery for a long time, and then through Christ now this has all been revealed, and then that's all part of God's eternal plan. It was always the plan, but before it wasn't known. And so the fullness of God is all that's happening with the church to reveal God's wisdom. And so he's praying for them to get that picture.
Isaac, you wanna explain your little chart? I could draw it up here on the iPad. I would do a great job drawing it for you. Then everyone could blame me on your bad idea. It's a great idea, but the way we would draw it would.
So I had two failed.
That
ways.
Ties into what Mike is saying.
Yeah, so there, I tried to draw it two different ways, and I'm not sure if both of them were pretty raw, but I think the easier one was the one with, like, all right, here's north. What's north?
Okay, this is north.
So then at the beginning of your path, so go down to your bottom of your page there, Michael.
Okay.
And so what? So you become a new believer, and I'm thinking about Michael's.
Hang on a second. Is anyone else having a hard time hearing? I cannot hear. Can you turn it up or something? I just can't hear a darn thing.
So this came out of Michael's chart earlier.
Oh,
from
that's helpful.
Like your path of your pathway of, like, when you start as a new believer, and then when you get to
this one,
full comprehension. Yeah, that guy. So as you're walking down that path, and you think about true north. So north is the direction you're supposed to be heading. You know, what's that range of that heading? You don't quite understand what that is, so it's somewhat wide. And then all of a sudden you find out, hey, you should be, all right, well, Christ is a piece of that. And so now you narrow up that heading a little bit more. All right, so you don't have quite as far of a range that you should be going. But then you go a little bit further, and if you think about, you know, some people tend to think about that maybe as an individual gospel, right? So then all of a sudden someone comes along and says, hey, but you need to consider the church as part of that. Well, now all of a sudden, well, your truth has just been blown up a little bit, and so now it might be even wider what is. And so it does need to narrow up a little bit, but maybe your confidence has, it's like, well, maybe I need to expand what this full range is again and wrestle with it.
Okay.
And but yeah, so, but that kind of, going back to, it really kind of jumped in with questions 2 and 3. You know, we each have our own gifts and our own skill sets and life circumstances. And so we're going to learn different pieces of this at different times in our lives. But it's through the church where we're able to come together and really pull all that together, that's where, you know, is going to be the ways that we can come to surpass knowledge, because it's not an individual effort, it's a corporate effort.
Yep. Okay. It's good, Isaac. It was good. And does everyone see how that ties into what Mike was saying too? How through your life you're moving up this V. you're moving up, and as you grow in understanding, you more and more comprehension, more and more of the fullness is captured, but as you understand that fullness, you, less of the more individual, oh man, how do you say it? It's the individual is pressed down more, and the fullness of Christ and everyone else and the whole plan is heightened. And so it becomes a lot less about self and more about what the community needs at church, and not so much about going to church just for your own weekly cheerleading. I mean, we need weekly cheerleading too, but it's you follow me? There's a fullerness to this path, to the growth. Who are we comprehending with? With all the saints. So what is the significance of that? Think, just ponder that for a moment. Who cares? That's a question somebody can answer. Why should we care about comprehending with all the saints? Who are all the saints? All I have is more questions. Yes.
Thank you.
This is Isaac's chart.
I like it. It's really good. So notice that in that lowest chevron there,
I can't hear you. What? Say that again.
The lowest chevron there, the lowest V chevron. You're starting out with Christ as your individual Savior. There's a lot of room in there, and you could be going off. You know, you could be going northeast instead of actually north.
Could be going over here.
Yeah, exactly. But then when as believers we begin to understand that the church is the center of Christ's plan, that narrows our range of options. And as we progress in the faith, that range of options continues to narrow and continues to narrow and continues to narrow. And what the result of that is that as a community, as we continue to grasp the fullness of God, the height, depth, breadth, etc., we're progressively able to go north effectively. We might need a little corrections here and there, but it's okay to start out going northeast, provided that you continue to grow and develop. But if you never get past that, you might wind up going northeast your whole life. It's no good. It's not what God wants. So yeah. You need to continue to develop in this way.
Yeah. It's a good chart, Isaac. What's that? Check mark? We were on a Skype call or a Zoom call the other day, and we did some competencies to get a green check mark, and we had a group thing going back and forth, and one of the guys said, because we all did this competency together, we can check mark collaborative, and another person replied back and said, loophole, !! And Dr. Stephen Kemp replied back to everyone, no poll. I read that and I laughed for the next 3 days. Because who would respond to such a great email with no poll? That's not a word. It's not a word. It's so funny, though. Because in Steve's defense, as we all know, he actually is right on that, because you don't get collaborative for just being collaborative in the thing. So, okay, I hope this morning is. Oh, Megan, yes.
Well, I feel like this is kind of like a side note. I don't.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, you asked about comprehending with the saints, like who are the saints. I was just gonna say that. Well, don't. Bill's giving me a look like maybe I shouldn't say this.
Bill, that's.
But.
I was just going to say. Steve's sides, I can give you all
Bill's.
I've
heard the phrase comprehending with the saints before, and yeah. I thought of that from like the Catholic sense of like saint, I didn't grow up Catholic, so I don't know who the saints are. But like St. Thomas Aquinas?
Sure.
I don't know.
Thomas Aquinas. He's
but,
a big one.
So when I heard of like comprehending with the saints, the idea that the saints are actually all the body of Christ, I thought what I thought it meant, but sorry, I can't look at Bill right now.
I understand
but
that
it
feeling.
Seemed kind of like almost... It seemed almost kind of like blasphemous to say like we're all saints. It's like, whoa, isn't that like for, you know, higher up, more special people? But just the idea that comprehending with the saints, and even what Judy was talking about with like the conference and different saints from different countries and nationalities, and being able to come together for that and to experience fellowship with you know, people all over the world, that they're all the saints, all from the body of Christ, is incredible, and there's a fullness there that I thinking that we can all be saints, that we're all capable of being mature in our faith and our understanding and the fellowship that comes with fellowshipping with other saints. So that was it was an interesting concept that I'm still grasping, understanding. So
yeah.
Anyways.
Awesome. That the saints. Yeah, I like what you said there. There's a fullness in understanding that it's we can be saints, but it's all the saints. It's all the saints. It's everyone in this room. It's everyone that's part of our church network. It's every person in church that's in Christ in the world today. In the United States, in every 195, however many countries there are today, and it's every person and church and leader that's been before us. So Paul, Peter, John, Mark, they're all saints. It's all the saints. And they've struggled with, it's all the saints. And it's also all the saints who have yet to be lived yet. So, I mean, that, and then when you, oh boy, we could read, let's read Revelation 19 together. And when Christ returns, all the saints are, we're going to have a banquet feast together with all the saints. So sometimes you may think in your churches that you got a pretty big feast going on. But that is just a, we are practicing for the big banquet feast with all the saints. So you're with saints in your church, and you're practicing, but you're, in a sense, you're practicing for the big banquet feast when Christ comes back. So there's a fullness to that understanding. It's not, we're not just memorizing this just so we know some cute verses. I mean, I'm glad you're moving in that understanding, no matter what your father-in-law's face tells you. All right. We love Bill. But I would like to create a poster someday, Bill. You know, I love pointing out Steve's things, but I would love to someday make a poster of, and I'd like to call it, The Faces of Bill Burns. I have a face here and a face here, and then just a small caption of what that facial expression means. That'd be fun for a handful of us. All right, let's pray about these things. Lord, we do pray that we would have the power to comprehend with all the saints. Lord, and that passes our own understanding, our own knowledge. We can't do it alone. We can't do it individually. We pray that we would stay committed to your plan. We'd stay committed to Christ's plan. Lord, we don't get it all the time. We're at the bottom of the V at times, and would you help us love each other? Would you help us? Help us with power from your Spirit, understand the riches of your glory and the fullness of you across our lifetime. Specifically this month as our conference of building your global network, your global family, and equipping them, teaching them the way of Christ and his apostles, I just pray that this next month that we would live out this prayer and that we would be this prayer. That all the people who come here from around the world, that they would look at us and see Ephesians 3. They would look at us and see saints, and they would look at us and see that we are on that journey of fully comprehending. Lord, bless us in our work this week. Bless us in our conversations. Bless us and keep us, and until we see your face, may we celebrate tonight with and see Christ in each other's faces. In your name, your Son's name, that we pray all these things. Let it be. Amen.